And also this whole piece of, we have this conversation about the oldest brother, Eliab. And of course we know that David is there to bring the food, and he overhears that David is talking with different people. What's going to be done for the person that kills this giant? And Eliab is so upset that he comes and he confronts his brother. And here is one of the things that I want to talk about briefly as we set this up in the reading of the scripture that you're looking for. This I have kind of paraphrased this. So this little piece of the story that I'm going to tell you right now is not in the thing that we're going to read, because it's a little bit of an aside. But here's what it is. It's like one of the ways that we know or believe or understand, or one of the lights that indicates that Scripture really is true, is it doesn't shy away from the warts of the people in the Bible. And I've said this many, many times. I said, we're talking about these heroes of the faith. And the idea is, you know, be like them. Well, to the degree that they're like Jesus, be like them. But when they're not like that, don't be like them. And so here's what Eliab says to David. I know that you are conceited. Now, I just want to say, David responds to that. What have I done? Can I ask any questions? Get away from me. You know, our first response is to think, okay, Eliab has lobbed an unfair accusation at his brother. I would contend that Eliab, the oldest brother, really knows the heart of his brother. He says, you're a thrill seeker. I know exactly why you're here. You want to watch the battle. Go back to your few sheep in the desert. Who did you leave them with? Don't blow over that. See that in that moment, maybe David is conceited. Maybe David does struggle with a little bravado. We'll see that in the story. Let's read it together. How would you like to stand as we read God's Word together? The Philistines got ready for war, and they brought their troops together to attack a town in Judah. Now King Saul and his forces drew up their battle lines against them. The Philistine army had a hero named Goliath who was from the town of Gath. He was a giant of a man. He wore a bronze helmet and had bronze armor to protect his chest and legs. The chest armor alone weighed about 125 pounds. He carried a bronze sword strapped on his back, and his spear was so big that the iron spearhead alone weighed more than 15 pounds. A soldier always walked in front of Goliath to carry his shield. Goliath went out and he shouted to the army of Israel, "Why are you lining up for battle? I'm the best soldier in our army, and all of you are in Saul's army. Choose your best soldier to come out and fight me. If he can kill me, our people will be your slaves. But if I kill him, your people will be our slaves. Here and now I challenge Israel's whole army. Choose someone to fight me." Saul and his men heard what Goliath said. They were so frightened of Goliath that they couldn't do a thing. Now David's father Jesse sent the shepherd boy David to his brothers to bring some food to them and their commander. And David started asking some questions. Some soldiers overheard David talking, so they told Saul what David had said. And Saul sent for David, and David came. "Your Majesty," he said, "this Philistine shouldn't turn us into cowards. I'll go out and I will fight him myself." "You don't have a chance against him," Saul replied. "You're only a boy. And he's been a soldier all his life." But David told him, "Your Majesty, I take care of my father's sheep. And when one of them is dragged off by a lion or a bear, I go after it and I beat the wild animal until it lets the sheep go. If the wild animal turns and attacks me, I grab it by the throat and kill it. Sir, I have killed lions and bears that way, and I can kill this worthless Philistine. He shouldn't have made fun of the army of the living God. The Lord has rescued me from the claws of lions and bears, and he will keep me safe from the hands of this Philistine." "All right," Saul answered, "go ahead and fight him, and I hope the Lord will be with you." Saul had his own military clothes and armor put on David, and he gave David a bronze helmet to wear. David strapped on a sword and tried to walk around, but he was not used to wearing those things. "I can't move with all this stuff on," David said. "I'm just not used to it." David took off the armor and picked up his shepherd's stick. He went out to a stream and picked up 5 smooth rocks and put them in his leather bag. Then, with his sling in his hand, he went straight toward Goliath. Goliath came toward David, walking behind the soldier who was carrying his shield. When Goliath saw that David was just a healthy, good-looking boy, he made fun of him. "Do you think I'm a dog?" Goliath asked. "Is that why you've come after me with a stick?" He cursed David in the name of the Philistine gods and shouted, "Come on! When I'm finished with you, I will feed you to the birds and the wild animals." David answered, "You've come out to fight me with a sword and a spear and a dagger. But I've come out to fight you in the name of the Lord All-Powerful. He is the God of Israel's army, and you have insulted him too. Today the Lord will help me defeat you. I'll knock you down and cut off your head. I'll feed the bodies of the other Philistine soldiers to the birds and wild animals. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a real God. Everybody here will see that the Lord doesn't need swords or spears to save his people. The Lord always wins his battles, and he will help us defeat you." When Goliath started forward, David ran toward him. He put a rock in his sling and swung the sling around by its straps. And when he let go of one strap, the rock flew out and hit Goliath on the forehead. It cracked his skull, and he fell face down on the ground. David defeated Goliath with a sling and a rock. He killed him without even using a sword. This is the word of the Lord. The theme of this message is, we are weak, but he is strong. In our weakness, God's strength, his power, is perfected in our lives. David said, and this is the key verse in there, "You come to me with a sword and javelin and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord All-Powerful, the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel." Now, I will say there is a lot of talk about weaponry in this chapter. Okay? So, you know, he comes out, Goliath does, and we're given a description of this tall giant. And he's got a helmet, and he's got mail made of bronze to protect him. He's got an armor bearer that runs ahead of him with a shield. He's got a javelin and a sword. It says there, and these are the specifics of it, the tip of that sword, the javelin, alone was 15 pounds, and it was made of iron. Okay, this is one scary dude. And he is loaded for bear, and he has all sorts of weapons. The next time there's talk about weapons is when there's this conversation between Saul and David. And he says, "I'm going to take on that Philistine." And David and Saul says, "What? You're just a boy. This guy is a seasoned warrior. He will crush you." Okay, at the very least, if you're going to go out, I need to give you these weapons of mine. So there's a sword, and there's this coat of mail, and there's this helmet. And what does David do when he puts it on? He walks around. I bet you it was too heavy for him. He's a boy. Saul was a man who stood head and shoulders above everyone, it said. He was a tall, strong man, and he was a warrior. So you can well imagine that Saul's weaponry was ill-fitting. And what does he say? He says, "I can't wear this stuff. I'm not used to it." So he takes it off. And now we see a transition between the kind of weapons that Goliath has and the weapons that Saul has and the weapons that David has. David is a poor shepherd boy, okay? Young lad. And it says there that he took his staff and he went to a stream and he took out 5 smooth stones. Presumably, the water had eroded those stones over time and they were nice and smooth. Just as an aside, why 5? Well, he killed Goliath with one of them, but later on in Chronicles it said that Goliath had 4 brothers. I wonder if those 4 brothers were with Goliath that day. And when Goliath came out, he knew he had to be ready to take on the family. But listen, he has a little leather pouch, and he puts those stones in the leather pouch. He has his staff with him, and he has his sling. That's all he's got. These are the tools of his trade, as it were, because he is there not only to lead his sheep beside still waters and to refresh them in pastures green, but also to protect them. And we know, because he says it himself, there were times when he had to protect his sheep, and he had to fight against wild beasts. Okay? And by the way, this is where we see a little of that bravado. You know, the kind of like the unbecoming side of David when he says, I can take on that guy. I've killed wild animals. You know, and Saul is saying, well, I hope you can. Okay? Because a wild animal is a wild animal. And Goliath is a man. But David is not just going out with his sling and staff and those stones. He's going out in the name of the Lord his God. And that's where it's all about. It's about the name. Okay, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He didn't even mention what he had. Right? He said, you come out and you've got spears and helmets and javelins and swords. I come to you in the name of the Lord, the Most High God. And he, our God, is jealous for his name. So there you are. You're standing there. God has equipped this young man with the tools of his trade. And I'm going to have a little aside here again to say, God has equipped you with tools for your trade, whatever they are. And he's asking you to use them. Okay? That makes sense. Whatever gift that God has given to you, use it for his glory. You have the gift of making money? Go make money. That's a glorious thing, the Bible says. But be generous. Okay? If you have the gift of service, serve with all your heart. If you have the gift of encouragement, speak that word of encouragement wherever you go. Whatever the gift that you have, use that. Okay, that's beautiful. But again, I'm not here to tell you that we're supposed to be strong and use our gifts and go out there and, you know, take on the world. Because unless you do those things according to the call in your life, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Most High, in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, then you're just doing stuff in the flesh. And it's not going to build the ends of the kingdom. We are citizens of the King. We are under the King. And so it is that we are to walk in the power of the King. So I was thinking, what are the weapons of believers? I did a series in Ephesians. In Ephesians 6, we finished that up, I think, in February before we started this series. Talked about the weapons of our warfare. What kind of weapons they are. Okay? The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. The footwear that is quick to run in sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I would posit to you that the staff that David came out with, remember, it says there very clearly, he picked up his staff, he went to the stream, got the stones, put them in a pouch, and he took his sling with him. Those 3 things. I would posit to you that staff is symbolic of God's Word. Okay? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, he writes in Psalm 23. We are a people for whom the Word of God is living and active and sharper than what? A two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of heart. Whatever we say and whatever we do, we ask, we sit under His Word. We ask God to empower by His Spirit to us our understanding, that we may know the truth that is ours in His Word. And as you read a little bit further in Ephesians 6, it talks about all these different weapons, and then he says, and on, over all of this, put on what? Prayer. Wow! It seems to me, as I was working through this week, that perhaps our prayers are like stones. Guided missiles, if you would. Fighting against the giants in our lives. Listen, when we go through difficulties in our life, as followers of Jesus Christ, where does that drive us to? Our knees. It drives us to an understanding that we are completely reliant upon God and that we don't have it all together. In fact, until we recognize that we don't have it all together, God is going to bring us down to the end of our rope. And then when we get to the end of our rope, what He's going to say, great, now I've got you in a position where I can work with you. Because it is in our weakness, brothers and sisters, that God's strength is manifested. It is made perfect. It is shown. So that, as it says in 1 Corinthians, He chooses the foolish things of the world to make foolish the wisdom of the wise. God has chosen us in our weakness to use us for His glory and for His purposes and for His fame. I don't know exactly what the giants are in your lives. Perhaps you're struggling with a son or a daughter who is making bad choices, and you have worry in your heart. Perhaps you're struggling with impatience. Perhaps you're struggling with anger and frustration. Maybe you have a fear in your life. I remember I was 16 years old. It was my 16th birthday. January 18, I can remember it like yesterday, I had a very bad public speaking experience. It was so bad that I was gripped by fear. And I just decided I'm never ever going to speak in front of people again. Be careful when you make alliances with the enemy. Right? Be sure your sins will find you out. Listen, I struggled for years with that fear. The mere thought of getting in front of people scared the living daylights out of me. And it was only through prayer that God broke the power of that fear in my life. Because God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And the enemy wants to thwart that. And he wants to steal that. And he wants to kill that in our lives. He wants to destroy the good thing that God has for us. And we cannot believe the lie, brothers and sisters. We have to stand in the truth. We are His workmanship, created for good works, which He has planned in advance for us from the foundation of the world. I suspect that the enemy can smell call from a long way away. We as parents, we see giftings in our children. We see perhaps a call of God in their life. We see that. The enemy sees it too. And man, that gets the enemy motivated. He is like a Goliath in our lives. And I ask, only you know what it is, the struggle of the giants in your life. Perhaps it's health issues, and you wonder, God, do you really love me? Perhaps it's an insecurity. Perhaps it's pride or lust. Or maybe it's a bully at school who's making your life miserable. I don't know what it is in your life, but I would ask that you take this stone that I'm giving you and you write the name of that giant. And you take the sling of prayer and you sling that so far away, as it were, that just like our sin, which God has removed to the deepest depths of the sea, to the farthest place, as far as east is from the west. And brothers and sisters, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, because our prayers are not going to be effective if it weren't for the prayers of Jesus. He is the giant slayer. He is the one that has dealt the death blow to sin, to our great enemy, the devil, and to death itself. On the cross, all of our sin was nailed there. And even our old self, that we might live in newness of life, that we might be able to live according to God's call, by His Spirit that He has given to us. And He has dealt the death blow to the enemy. The day of His final farewell is yet to come, and He will be thrown in the lake of fire. Praise God. And on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's the name, brothers and sisters. That's the name in whose victory we have. Jesus Christ has won the victory. We see that in Ephesians and Colossians. Let me read Colossians 2. We have been buried with Christ in baptism, and we are raised with Him in faith in the powerful working of God who raises Christ from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses, God made alive together with Him, and having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this He set aside in His Son, Jesus Christ, nailing it to the cross. He has disarmed the rulers and authorities and has put them to open shame by triumphing over them in His Son, Jesus Christ. May we ever live in the truth that is in the name of Jesus that we have victory because He lives. I can face tomorrow because I know He holds the future. I can face whatever the enemy hurls at us, whatever defiance he says to us in our life. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Who are you? In Christ, we have victory. Brothers and sisters, let us believe the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand and sing in response.